You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vidrinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical theatre show. And you're listening to our podcast, Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the latest theatrical news. And as you can probably tell from the picture for this week's episode, the Showtime spotlight is falling once again on Everybody's Talking About Jamie. Everybody's talking about Jamie. Now, you would be right in thinking that this is a pretty quick turnaround for Spotlight On. I think it was literally just last month that I did an episode entirely on Everybody's Talking About Jamie, where we mentioned the fact that West End star Leighton Williams would be taking the show to LA for its American debut. We talked a bit about the UK tour of the show and how you can catch that at a theatre near you. And of course, we mentioned the film version that was at that point set to come out. I have linked that earlier episode in the post here if you would like to go back and listen to it, but tonight's episode is still completely different. And that's because the film version of Everybody's Talking About Jamie has now been released, and oh boy, it is so good. So Everybody's Talking About Jamie, if you don't know, is based on the real life story of a boy in Sheffield who wanted to be a drag queen. Jamie Campbell, the real-life inspiration for the character, had a documentary made about him, and that became the basis for the musical Everybody's Talking About Jamie, which sees a fictionalised version of him called Jamie New starting his drag journey and wanting to go to his high school prom in drag. It's a real fun, uplifting, heartwarming coming-of-age story with some absolute bangers and musical numbers courtesy of Dan Gillespie-Sells from The Feeling. It was also written by Tom McRae and directed by Jonathan Butterill, both of whom then wrote and directed the film version respectively. So you can kind of go into this knowing that the film, in its essence at least, is coming from a very similar place as the stage show. Now, I'm just going to say it here. I haven't seen the stage show. I should have seen it about four times over now, but because of the pandemic, it's one that keeps being rescheduled, and unfortunately, it just hasn't happened for me yet. I think we're now booked in to see it here in Nottingham next February, so please keep your fingers crossed that it actually gets here in one piece by then. But with that in mind, I was so looking forward to the film version, which just came out on Amazon Prime Video, where it's available for you to stream right now. It stars the likes of Sarah Lancashire and Richard E. Grant and Sharon Horgan and breakout star Max Harwood as the titular Jamie. And while I know it is markedly different from the stage show in places, even though I haven't seen the stage show, so I can't really comment, I bloody loved it. I have spent so much of this year being excited about all the new movie musicals we're getting, starting sort of with The Prom last Christmas, and then In the Heights earlier this year, and then Dear Evan Hansen and West Side Story and Tick Tick Boom, which are all coming relatively soon. I've been so excited. And if I'm being perfectly honest, a lot of them have kind of let me down slightly for one reason or another. And so I was equally excited and nervous going into Everybody's Talking About Jamie, and I am really pleased to say it more than lived up to my expectations. The cast are brilliant, the songs are great, but more than that, they've really understood how to use the fact that they're on film to their advantage. Like, I know I speak a lot about things like Chicago, which is a movie musical that only really works because it is a movie musical. Like, they use the tools and the tricks of the trade to their advantage rather than just plonking a big song and dance number in at random. And while Everybody's Talking About Jamie isn't quite Chicago level in terms of its execution, it really does blend the theatrical with the filmic. Like, a lot of the songs kind of have music video vibes, if that makes sense, particularly when they're songs that Jamie only really has access to, like You Don't Even Know It at the start of the film, which makes sense because he's dreaming of being a performer.
There's a clock on the wall and it's moving too slow. It's got hours to kill and a lifetime to go. And I'm holding my breath till I hear the last bell. Then I'm coming out hard and I'm giving him hell. I'm a superstar and you don't even know it. In a Wonder Bra and you don't even know it yourself.
So they've taken the stage show element of a song happening and everyone on stage joining in and doing a nice little dance with it. With the fact that it's on films, they can make it kind of more stylized and dreamlike to suggest it's Jamie's own imagination. Then one particular favourite of mine was the song Work of Art, which is sung by Sharon Horgan as the uptight teacher Miss Hedge. And that goes all sort of like grayscale to start with and mimics a lot of famous pieces of artwork, which gives it a kind of surreal flavour. Again, not something that you can do on stage, but something that you have the flexibility to be creative with and achieve well on camera.
You belong in the spotlight, on the wall of the tent, in a 10 megawatt light, 'cause your brushwork's so great. You're a Barbara Tracy Ellman in your Grace and Perry's next part. Work of art, work of art, you're a perfect work of art. Like Picasso, so Picasso, I just don't know where to start. Work of art.
And that song then turns into this brilliant alternating black and white sequence with Jamie, which is so visually spectacular and really plays tribute to Madonna's Vogue music video. It is fantastic. And while we're on the subject of songs, I know one of the most jarring things for fans of the stage show will be the fact that certain songs have been omitted from the story altogether or replaced with a new song entirely. Now, this is where me having not seen the stage show probably helps a lot, because not necessarily being as familiar with all of the original music meant that nothing in the film felt out of place for me. It all flowed really well. It told the story that it was trying to tell. At no point did it feel like anything was missing or was massively underdeveloped, which, if you heard my review of Lin-Manuel Miranda's In the Heights earlier this year, one of my biggest criticisms of that was that they cut so much out of the story that it ended up feeling very sequential rather than having a proper through line in the plot. Jamie doesn't have that issue, which is very impressive, very well done. And while I'm honestly not usually a fan of them adding in entirely new songs when they do movie versions of shows, think Suddenly in Les Mis or Beautiful Ghosts in Cats. Like, why are you doing this? The audience are there because they like the original music. You putting in a new song that is never as good doesn't really add anything to the plot and just gets in the way of the stuff we actually want to see. I'm not a fan of it. However, I retract that statement entirely in relation to everybody's talking about Jamie. When Jamie meets his drag mentor, Hugo Battersby, aka Loco Chanel, she usually sings a song called The Legend of Loco Chanel and the Blood Red Dress. It's sort of a ballad about how she came to be a drag queen, and not gonna lie, it's an absolute bop. So when I saw that it wasn't going to be in the film, I was a little bit disappointed. Well, I have never been more wrong about anything. The song that replaces it in the film is called This Was Me, and it's essentially a montage of what it was like to be a part of the LGBTQ plus community in the late 80s and early 90s. It's very It's a Sin if you watch that on Channel 4. Even the song itself has that fabulously 80s electronic vibe, and it's performed wonderfully by Holly Johnson from Frankie Goes to Hollywood. And it starts in Hugo's shop in the modern day, and then you literally go through the television there to have the perspective of one of the younger Hugo's friends who is filming everything with a video camera. So you see club life and performances at the Royal Vauxhall Tavern and pride marches and elements of the AIDS crisis. I genuinely can't put into words how fantastic it is. I've watched the sequence about 5 times now and it makes me tear up every single time. It's such an emotional gut punch and it works so well in the film.
This was me. We were children in the night. Every star burned twice as bright. We were tough and could fight. We held the line. This was me. So adored and born again. She's a smoking 10 for 10. I was beautiful back then. I was divine.
And it's also also got a great Easter egg for fans of the musical, because the young version of Hugo is played by John McCree, the original Jamie in the stage show. He predictably does a brilliant job, and there's such a lovely moment when he's taking part in a pride march and he spots the Max Harwood film version of Jamie, who is there in kind of like an Ebenezer Scrooge voyeuristic audience position. And they have this little moment together. And like, it's already heightened emotion because of how beautiful the rest of the sequence is. But for theatre fans to basically see John McCree kind of welcome Max Harwood into the Jamie family and give him his blessing, oh, it just gets me right in the heart. So the music is all great, even the new songs, and personally it doesn't feel like anything glaring is missing. The full soundtrack for the film is out now, so if you want to give the music a listen, you can follow the link here in the post and check that out. And then of course no review would be complete without mentioning the cast of the film. So Max Harwood, who plays Jamie, is very much the star of the show in every sense of the word. I think he does a great job of capturing Jamie's dreamlike quality in terms of his ambition, and he plays the hurt and angry moments really well too. I personally like his voice a lot, particularly on the song Wall in My Head, though it's one of those where I don't know how well it would necessarily work on stage. It doesn't necessarily have the same oomph as other people I've heard play the role live, but I think he sounds great in the film.
There was something he said. Something he said, his words built a wall inside my head. Just one little thing, didn't mean that much to him, but it keeps building and building and building this wall in my head.
I know some people in reviews have also said that Jamie seems a bit narcissistic in the film, but A, I feel that's more to do with the character in and of himself rather than Max's portrayal of it specifically, and B, I don't know, it kind of makes sense to me that Jamie is a bit self-absorbed. Like, he's clearly willing to learn and help and grow when he can, but other times he gets very caught up in his own world and his own issues, and that can backfire onto the people around him. So again, I think that element is played really well by Max Harwood, especially as you're still always rooting for him to do well. I think he was so well cast in this role, and I also think it's great to see a movie musical basically taking the chance on an unknown actor rather than casting a more well-known performer or even a celebrity who isn't as good in the role but will automatically get more people in. Not gonna name any names here, of course. Sharon Horgan, then, as I've mentioned, plays the teacher Miss Hedge, who, I'm gonna say it, is a right bitch. As the daughter of a teacher, there were times when I was thinking, I don't know if that situation would be handled that way or if that would be an appropriate thing to say there, but Sharon Horgan herself does a great job of making you dislike the character while still getting that kind of repressed, frustrated teacher vibes across. Like, I love Sharon Horgan anyway, so it was weird having her play someone who's not very nice to the protagonist. I also need to give a special mention to Sarah Lancashire, who is just genius casting. She plays Jamie's mum, Margaret, and I was again a bit disappointed when it was revealed we wouldn't be hearing her sing If I Met Myself Again, because I love Sarah Lancashire as a performer and knew she would just knock that song out of the park. Again, it didn't really feel like it was missing in the film itself, because they filled the gap where it would occur and actually reworked part of the plot so that the song wouldn't have made sense anyway. But fortunately, you instead get Sarah Lancashire pulling no punches at all with the song He's My Boy in the second half. A lot of the song is just her voice played over footage that's happening elsewhere, but my God, she does it brilliantly.
But a trademark.
Literal chills at the climax of that song, so keep an eye out for that when you're watching it. Oh, and then also Lauren Patel, who plays Jamie's best friend Pretty. Vocally, she wasn't necessarily my favourite Pretty that I've ever heard, but she brought such a gorgeous innocence and charm to the role that was so endearing. And I actually think her comedy lines tended to land better than Max Harwood's as Jamie. Also, as someone who is very studious at school myself, it was nice to see a character that, like, I identified with more in the story. But the thing that was really refreshing in a lot of ways about Lauren Patel in particular, and a lot of the other school cast too, to be fair, is that they looked their age. I know most of them were actually sort of late teens when they filmed this, but it was so nice to have normal looking people at school. I mean, I don't want to dig at Dear Evan Hansen, particularly as none of us have actually seen the film yet, but the fact that these characters and the whole ensemble too looked school age really helped with the story and the characters' motivations, and maybe when they didn't understand stuff in the same way that an adult would, it felt normal. And it's been a really long time since we saw that on screen, I think. So the long and the short of it is, give Everybody's Talking About Jamie a watch. It's on Amazon Prime Video, but I think it is also being shown in some cinemas, so keep an eye out there if that's easier for you. It really is so very charming. In fact, I described it to one of my friends as sort of Sunshine on Leith-esque. Like, it's clearly not a huge Hollywood blockbuster. It feels very British and very homegrown and, yeah, very charming. That's the only way I can say it. The musical elements should satisfy theatre fans, while the plot and the story is still full enough to not feel like anything's missing. And the icing on the cake for me, as I've said, they have fully embraced the fact that this is a movie musical and have lent into that wholeheartedly. It really won me over in so many ways, and if anything, it's worth watching just for that 1980s This Was Me montage, which is absolutely a thing of beauty. So check out some of the links here in the post if you want to find out more, including a video which lists all of the major differences between the stage show and the film if you're interested. But other than that, I will say goodbye for now. Of course, I'll be back again next Sunday evening with a brand new episode of Spotlight On at 7 p.m, which, if you're a regular Showtime fan, will be of great excitement to you, because we are going to be talking all about the newly announced cast of Moulin Rouge in the West End. So come back next Sunday at 7 p.m. to find out more about that. Because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.